Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I would be that other fella on the other end called Bill Knight.
How's it going, pal?
It's going, man. It's Friday. I didn't know that until you pointed it out just before we cracked the mics.
No, it happens when you get older. You know, it's funny. Yesterday, I'm doing stuff around my office, and I get a text from you, and you say, O.J. Simpson died. And it didn't even make sense. O.J. Simpson? No. And I thought to myself, you know, the whole day is going to be all O.J. all the time. And it was. Everywhere you went, every news, program had O.J. Simpson. It's like, come on, God. He's not in the white Bronco anymore. Let it go. You know?
Well, I saw that posted on the internet, too. Every negative story about O.J. because, you know, look, did he do it or didn't he do it? I'm not judge and jury. It wasn't my decision. I don't know. You know, a lot of things say he did.
I think he did it.
I do too. But you know what? All right, he was let go on one thing, and then he was taken down to civil court and punished. He did,
but
he
didn't pay diddly squat on that civil. I don't know how you get away with that. They found him guilty. He owed like several million dollars to the Goldman family, and. You know, I don't believe he paid anything. If he, you know, and he lived pretty well. He lived pretty well for the rest of his life.
The way you have to look at it, it's not for you. And I mean, whether he got off the hook or not, you know, things have a way of working out. Whether he came to resolve with God or not, I don't know. But today would be his judgment. Well, yesterday started his judgment.
That's funny you should say that. The first thing I thought of was, there's no beating this judgment, you know.
The people that are out there that were so negative and full of venom, you know, going, well, I've never hated anybody, but he gave me cause to hate somebody. And I'm like going, you know, you're actually going over a line there that you really shouldn't go. But then they're doing it with Trump. They're doing it with everything.
Yeah, but, you know, this is a guy who – several months before his wife was murdered, he beat the living daylights out of her, gave her a black eye. He was not a nice guy. You know, here's the thing that got people is that in public he presented this all-American image, this wholesome guy. You know, he was the guy who ran through the airport for Hertz. He was was on the Naked Gun movies who made you laugh. By the way, he ruined those movies for me after that murder and after that whole fiasco. I can't look at those movies now and see a scene with him in it and not have the movie ruined. And I liked those movies. They were funny movies, but he
got no other work after that. Now, it's funny because there was an interview he did after the fact. And, you know, because they're trying to use him to go after Trump and belittle Trump. Everybody did Hollywood pictures, you know, and, you know, a picture with, look, I mean, when I was in Miami, you know, down there, I did some junket cruises down there, and there were football players from San Francisco, the 49ers and whatnot, and, you know, the Budweiser girls. No, we didn't have Dylan Mulvaney or anything like that.
You're positive.
Okay. I'm absolutely positive. Well, we had those pictures. Nothing ever went on with anything, but, you know, everybody does that little cheesy smile. Hey, here we are.
In our business, many times you go to a function and you are posing in pictures with people you've never met before. You know, I mean,
some of them people can fall on ill fate from their own doing, and somebody will pull out that picture. Well, you know.
Oh, look, he was a friend of Jim Harrington's. Yeah, well, my goodness.
And O.J., you know, just said, yeah, we took pictures, and we like the same kind of women. Well, you know, he said that in an interview. Yeah, so,
The rumor was that he had cancer for some time, and last February, just last February, so that's like, what, 2 months ago? When was the Super Bowl? That was like two months ago in February. O.J. Simpson was in his... I think he was in his SUV. He likes to travel in SUVs. Anyway, he was pulling out of, I believe, his complex and was stopped by reporters. Listen.
Hey, X-World. Hospice? Hospice? You talking about hospice? No, I'm not in any hospice. I don't know who put that out there, but whoever put that out there, I guess it's like the Donald Sink.
can't trust the media. In any event, I'm hosting a ton of friends for the Super Bowl here in Las Vegas. All is well, you know. So, hey, guys, take care. Have a good Super Bowl weekend.
Now, that was him sitting in his car. He was driving, and he was making fun of the fact that there was word out there that he was in a hospice. So the story of him having cancer was circulating in February, but he was laughing at it, you know, like he did with, he did that a lot with stories about him, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole courtroom case was a laugh in our face, you know. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Remember that when they were trying to put the glove on.
I remember that.
The fact of the matter is, the glove had been soaked, I believe, in blood, and it shrinks. The manufacturer said afterwards, all of our gloves, when they're wet, they will shrink.
The leather shrinks up.
Yeah. So, but no one brought that up in the trial. They said, oh, well, it doesn't fit. Well, it's not his glove. He didn't do it. CNN had one of their contributors, right, made a comment about a race thing and how people were kind of happy. Listen, this is yesterday.
And it's also just worth noting how much was impacted by this trial, Jake. So many things happened. We saw policing changing here in the city. And it's also worth noting, because of that unrest, that racial unrest in the 90s, that is why so many people who may not have been invested in O.J. Simpson were just happy to see that someone who was rich and famous and black could get away with what other people did in the system as well, too.
Okay. I got to say something here, okay? First of all, this contributor is about 30. So in 1994, she was a child, an infant. All right. So she's talking
what
about
does she know?
She's talking about the racial unrest in the 90s. I lived through the 90s. Okay, and I'm going to tell you that things in the 90s were pretty darn good. They were a lot better, I think. Racially, than they are now. Exactly right. You know, this whole thing about racial divide, this whole thing about us versus them, is a product of the social media. It's a product of the Democrats. Democrats use race to separate us. Because
they've always done that.
Yeah, you divide and you conquer. It works. You divide and conquer. It's an old saying. And the Democrats believe that. If we're all living in this kumbaya world where we get along, well, there's no difference in the parties, and they can't succeed, so they want to see a racial divide. By the way, they are really ticked off at the latest numbers. Trump has gone up significantly in the minority voting polls.
Yeah. Black men actually love Trump.
Yeah, big time.
Polling numbers are through the roof because, you know, minority voters, they're
not blind, Bill.
No, they're not. And they've known all along who their enslavers were. The original enslavers always were, and then they used them for votes. But, who used who, maybe?
Yeah.
You know, really? Maybe you go along with it because it gets you to the point to where you can get off that racial bus. And now the bus is parked, and they're getting off saying, hey, you know what? We're not riding on your bus anymore. We're here. We're on our own, and good for them. I mean, shove it in the Democrats' face because they're the ones that have pushed, and there have been Republicans too, but they've pushed racism.
Yeah, well,
played that card.
When you look back historically, even as far as the Civil War, it was the Democrats of the South who fought for slavery. It wasn't the Republicans. If you'll remember, it was a Republican president who led the country to a victory and the elimination of slavery. But people forget that. As a matter of fact, the Democrats, if anything, have been great at grabbing this unearned...
opportunities, yeah.
That's exactly... this unearned claim that they were the ones who freed the blacks. It wasn't. It was the Republicans who did it. And the Republicans, by the way, They if anyone's going to shoot themselves in the foot, it will be the Republican Party. They're really, really good at it. What is the old saying? They will seize defeat from the jaws of victory. They do it all the time. But Bill, you know, we're talking about race. you know Maxine Waters, right? She's been in Congress forever.
What's good for thee is not good for me.
Well, listen, here's what she said. You'll remember this about 2.5 years ago. Maybe a little longer,
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
So she's screaming at a crowd. She's inciting a crowd. If you see any of... people from the Trump cabinet, you see them in a restaurant, a gas station, you get in their face, you tell them they're not welcome. That's what she said, right? She screamed that. She incited that, and she was proud of it. But now, right, she was on a black talk show recently, I think a couple of days ago, and she was complaining about this. Listen.
As a member of Congress with people, you know, who evidently had a racist attitude and recently one even confronted me in a restaurant. And they don't say racist things, but right. What they say is they don't like something I said. They don't like a position that I took. But you know that, you know, if you were not black, you would not be approached that way.
Yeah, you got to love it.
Oh, wait a minute. So I didn't say anything racist.
Right.
I just don't agree with you. That makes me a racist?
Absolutely, as far as she's concerned. Yeah.
Well, no, she's a racist then.
Oh, but that's
because
a,
she
her
has
whole
a
career has been that way.
Well, that's how she made her fame. That's how she made her money. And she's going to stick to that. She's a one-trick pony, as my friends used to say. You know, she is a one-trick pony. That's the only trick that she knows. Which makes you question her intelligence there. I mean, I remember, you know, someone that I worked with, you know, a woman that I worked with who was very left and used to sit there and look at, they would look at the crew of Pelosi and Maxine and them all sitting there in their little proper, you know, midi skirts with their hose on and their high heels and say, look at that power. Then I'm going, what power do you see? Look at them and their shoes and what. I'm going,
wow.
Like, that's power to you?
You know, I look at people like, you know, and they do this all the time. Sheila Jackson Lee, Maxine Waters, they will claim if you don't like them, you don't like what they say or what they believe, the first thing they say is you're a racist. You are a racist. The first thing they say, never mind the fact that they both are as dumb as a box of rocks. If they were Irish white guys, okay, like me, and they sounded like they do now, I would say that they're dumb as a box of rocks. It has nothing to do with the skin color. It has everything to do with the content of what they have to say. That being said, I think Byron Donalds is a terrific guy. Tim Scott is an intelligent guy. Ben Carson, one of the smartest guys that's ever been in government. These are minorities, and no one. It's funny. The left will look at these wonderful examples, and they will degrade them like, well, they're Uncle Toms, or they're not really black. Why? Because they're intelligent and they're smart and they stay on topic and they don't blame whatever mistake that's out there on race. That's the Democratic Party, Bill, has bathed themselves in race and dissension.
Well,
do you know?
Look at that mayor from Illinois, not Chicago, but what's her name? Tiffany, is it?
I know who you're talking about, but I don't have her name. Yes.
Tiffany Henyard. Okay, you know, the people are saying, this girl's corrupt, and she is. I mean, you're talking big money that's being squandered, taken, and whatnot, and you can even, they're saying she's the worst mayor ever, and she's going, well,
That's racial.
That's exactly what she's doing. That's racist. Well, it's interesting because you know who they hired to investigate her for $400 an hour?
Who?
Lori Lightfoot.
Well, there you go. Hey,
and
listen.
Lori is black.
If anybody knows about being a corrupt mayor, it's probably Lori Lightfoot. I mean, look what she did to the wonderful city of Chicago. By the way, Chicago is an amazing town. I'll tell you why. Because it has gone through a series of corrupt, fathead mayors who have done everything in their capabilities to ruin the city, and yet it still stands. I mean, I find that amazing. Chicago, if you've ever been to Chicago, Bill, it's a beautiful town. I've been there.
Oh, I've been there. I've been there several times.
Yeah.
I was in that, what was it? I can't remember. It was in the hotel that had that walkway that collapsed. The week that I was there, it was fine. The following week, it collapsed. I was going like,
it was you that did it. It was you that did it.
No, I missed it. You know, I mean, I was at a convention, you know.
Yeah. But Chicago is an amazing town, but it has had some terrible, terrible governments running it. Imagine how great Chicago would be if it had honest and dedicated politicians with the goal of keeping it safe and making it financially stable. Can you imagine how great that city would be? Because it's been great with the worst people running it. You know, it's like despite itself, it continues to do well. But anyway, Bill, other things that are happening in the world, in the Middle East, we're going to take a big leap. A lot of stuff going on. Russia has told its citizens to refrain from travel to the Middle East. The U.S. has told its people, its employees, the embassy, to be very careful. Don't move around too much in Israel. Be careful where you're going. If you can avoid going to Israel, don't go to Israel. They're waiting for a shoe to drop over there, you know?
Well, I mean, I've heard tell it could be today, this week, sometime, or this weekend, because... and isn't there a date coming up? Tomorrow's the 13th. I heard something was going to happen on the 13th.
See, it wouldn't surprise me, Bill. That would make a lot of sense.
13th and the 18th are the two days that have been
floated. Isn't it amazing how numerology plays a part in so much of our lives? And we always kind of poo-poo it. I don't believe in numerology, but I believe in coincidence. the 13th is tomorrow, and 13 is an unlucky number. Do you think that it's a smart move on the part of Iran? First of all, I'm hearing now that Israel will be the first to attack. You know, Iran telescoped it; they were going to attack Israel within 48 hours, and they told the world that. This was about a day ago, so the time is running out. Israel, in turn, turned around and said, "Oh yeah, well we're gonna, you know, we may strike first now." There's a lot of people saying, look out for Israel. They may actually attack Iran first. What do you think?
Well, I think what I saw, I can't quote exactly where I saw it, you know, but I saw that Palestine, they're getting their operatives out of Israel, which is the precursor of a planned attack. And I had read somewhere that there was the threat of nukes. And so I've wondered, are they going to use a nuke just to say, that's it? Israel's done. The map.
Bill,
what would happen if that happened?
I sometimes wonder whether the media is priming us as a population for doom, and I'll tell you why. There's this new series on, I think it's on Prime, called Fallout, and it's post-apocalyptic. It's after the bombs have gone off, okay? And it's depressing as all get out. And I'm thinking, wait a second, we saw that other movie that was out, the Obama-produced movie about 3 months ago.
The World Behind.
Yeah, we saw that movie that was apocalyptic. Now they're coming out this month with another movie. It's going to be in theaters first. They want you to pay up front first. It's called Civil War.
And just in case we don't make it to the movie, they want their money.
Exactly right. So I'm thinking they're priming us. They're priming us. When I watch this movie Fallout, Bill, in beautiful living color, you see Los Angeles being nuked. And, you know, they can do anything now on film. It's not just simulated. It looks realistic.
And it's a lot of young people that are in the animation stuff, and they're like, wow, look at that. Even the people that did actually create the first bomb, they marveled at the beauty of the flame
that
was going into the sky, not realizing what they had opened up. They've opened up a gate, a portal to hell, is what
a lot of guys, Bill, were. You know, they were told not to look at the bomb, and they did out of it was just sheer awe, and they were temporarily blinded. Some of them were temporarily blinded by the blast, but it was so something you couldn't take your eyes off of. You know, they used to put, believe it or not, they actually brought troops. Did you know this? To the proving grounds in Nevada, and they had
guinea pigs.
They were guinea pigs, exactly right. Yeah. They were like maybe 2 miles, 3 miles from the blast, and these guys could feel the shock wave go over them. They were in trenches. They could feel the shock wave going over them. You know, they were a lot of these guys ended up getting like leukemia and stuff like that. There was a was a movie back in 1956. I don't mean to digress. It was shot on an old proving grounds. I say, well, you know, they blew up a lot of bombs above ground in Nevada back in the 50s and the 60s. And they shot a movie. It starred Agnes Moorehead. It starred John Wayne. These were all big stars. It was a Western, and they shot it not too far from ground zero of where they were letting these bombs go off. And all of the stars from that movie ended up dying from cancer in their not too distant future.
Well, you know, the pilots that flew over to film, you know, even though they weren't right over the blast, they were around the area or trailing away from.
Mm-hmm.
But the radiation got into their air vents and they breathed it in. So they got it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You can't. We are living in a very dangerous time right now. And I look at this clown that we have in Washington. I'm sorry. This guy is the most reckless president, the most incompetent president we could ever have during such a dangerous time. I mean, I look around the world. You see everybody, and they're all they're all looking at us. And we have a guy who doesn't know how to drive the bus, and he's up there driving. You know,
I mean, there's a lot of things that tick me off in the news. You got a sermon from me before the podcast started. It was interesting. A friend of ours, who's a radio consultant, you know, went back and listened to it. He was curious about that one that we did on the 28th, which happens to be one of our shows that everybody goes back to because of the
a shout out to Ted, by the way. Good
shout out to Ted. But yeah, that was the one where we did the AI. And the AI gave a story how America fell.
Yeah. You know?
And it wrote it. And, you know, the AI is the sum of all
knowledge
news that's out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was programmed to just grab the resources that are out there. And you gave it a headline. And it came up with this. And we read that. And he goes, it was interesting, but it was scary as hell.
Yeah. The thing that was interesting.
It was spot on.
Yeah. People don't understand artificial intelligence. Let me just take a moment, and you can correct me if I step out of bounds here, but for people who don't really know what AI does, think of it this way, okay? It's a software program that when you give it parameters, say, I want you to write a story about the ending of our country through a nuclear war, and I want it to be contemporary, and I want it to be positive, with a positive ending. I don't know how you could do that with a nuclear war, but this program will take your parameters, and then it will search tens of thousands of databases around the world on the subject. It will do it in a fraction of a second and then compile the important elements that it's found, and in that same short period of time, it will write a cohesive, intellectual, intelligent paragraph or two or story about the end of the world with a positive ending, if you could have one. So it will, and it does it. Bill, you've done this. I think we did an example on the air where you gave you some parameters and it spit out the storyline and we read it and it was like in 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was. It was in 30 seconds and you gave me some other parameters. We never read that one. I think I still have it somewhere. But, and it was a story that you wanted, I gave it to you, you know, and it was kind of interesting because, and I was just showing you how quick it would do it.
Yeah.
And it was, but it's scary because I think we're on a path. I think that we are on a pre-programmed path. I think that we've been on a path. And, you know, I made a very poignant observation to you before the show that, you know, that I see what the Democrats and the DNC are doing, or Joe and the DNC are doing, And I see where we're going with taxes and money. I mean, and what got me on that diatribe of, that I told you about with money and taxes is I looked at the new student loan forgiveness program, you know. But, you know, Joe's at it again, and it's not legal, but, you know, he's promising more people money. And, you know, how he plans to pay for it? Taxes. He's going to, you and I are going to pay for this. And they've even though it's a plan, again, it's a plan, it's already, the wheels are already in motion. They tried to put it in motion last time before you had time to blink or think.
Yeah.
Blink or think. That's a good rhyme.
I like
anyway,
it.
Anyway, they tried to put it in motion, and they had their campaign things out there. They're attacking abortion, and they're attacking the student forgiveness. They're buying votes is what they're trying to do. And they sat there, and they had this young person. I couldn't believe it when I opened that email, not mail, email, because they want to get you in this digital world too.
Yeah.
And to give up. And that's where the money thing goes. But they want you to give up certain things, and we go to this digital world. I got that email. I was so excited. It was such a relief. $150,000 of debt that's going to be forgiven. I don't think anybody should have to pay for their student for going to school. This is America.
Yeah.
We've got all the resources and money in the world.
Now, mind you, you've made an adult decision to get a loan.
Mm-hmm.
You have committed to it. You have agreed, legally agreed, to pay off the loan. And now you're saying, well, I don't really want to have to pay it. So,
well,
but you know,
that being,
but we talked about before the show started about Jack Smith, and Jack Smith has said yesterday, he said, listen, if the Supreme Court comes down with a decision that says that President Trump had executive privilege and it ruins our cases, we'll just ignore it. That's what he said.
Okay, he's saying he is above the law. The Democrat Party is saying they're above the law.
Exactly.
Joe is saying he's above the law. I mentioned to you, and I'll just say it. You know, it's obvious that Joe, the DNC, and I guess the entire Democrat Party wants Trump and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. dead. Now, you know, they want to sit there.
Now, why would you say that, Bill? For the people who aren't really paying attention, just explain why you would say that.
Okay. When you look at how they're going after Trump, you know, it's a very thin line that they're going after him because they want to lock him up. They want to get rid of him.
Right.
And when he's locked up, the optic of that, he's going to be Epstein, just because anybody that gets in the way is going to have that. Everybody that's gotten in Joe's way, he's gotten rid of. Now, what's the threat of Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? Well, you know, he is running for president, and he is getting independent numbers out there and taking them from Joe. So what is Joe and the DNC doing? Anybody, if Jim, if you ran for president, you would have Secret Service protection.
That's right.
But Kennedy doesn't. The only reason that you would do that is you want him dead. You want him out of the picture.
And, you know, Bill,
you
said something interesting. He was denied protection
again
yesterday or the day before yesterday.
Yes. Now, look, I like the guy, and there are things I like about him, and there's a couple of things I don't like, and they would overshadow, and I think he's made some bad choices but he's been forced into a corner to make some bad choices by the party that he grew up supporting that he had to walk away from.
Well, whoever would have thought the Democratic Party would turn their back on a Kennedy about protection? You know, this is a guy, if any candidate out there should have protection, it should be a Kennedy. If anything, just because he's a Kennedy, because they've already paid, they paid the fee, if you would. They've paid the cost of that protection by giving up their father and their uncle to an assassin's bullet for this country. At the very least, that should be the reason why he gets protection.
Should, but he's not. And why? Why?
Yeah. Well,
you know,
you have a corrupt and, dare I say, sinister government right now run by, you know, people say, oh, he's a senile old. No,
he's coherent.
He's a coherent and, dare I say, evil man. Because think about it, he will let his kids will live in sin and corruption if it benefits him and his family.
Well, the DNC is saying this is, you look at Jill and look at Joe. That's a love story if we ever saw one.
Oh, gag me.
He is probably the man with the most integrity and most honest person that you've ever seen in the White House.
Mm.
He is not corrupt yet. Anybody that, Tara Reid, had to leave the country because he digitized her in the halls of the White House. Did. Sorry. Or was it the vice presidential? Well, either way, he did it, in the government offices. And he's done that with more than one woman. So this guy is a piece of doo-doo. He's done a lot of things. We played the audio yesterday. Everything that he preached, he's not doing. It's the total opposite now of what he talked about.
He's came out, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday, and said he's looking in to find out what he can do legally to protect our border. Mind you, when he destroyed the border, and he did destroy our border, when he did it, he didn't have to look into anything. He just pulled the underpinning out of that whole protection process down on the border and destroyed our borders in one fell swoop. He could, with the word, close the border, secure the border. All he would have to do is say those things, and the border would be secured. He's not doing it.
Well, pay attention to the message that he's sending out there, the border crisis. The border is open. He's letting people flood in. He's blaming it on Trump, but he did it. It's his policies. He's doing it, and we're giving them checks. We're giving them money. Well, we're the richest country in the world. We have the resources. Student debt, well, we have the resources. Richest country in the world. No kid should have to pay for a loan to be somebody and make money. Well, you know, they're giving this stuff willy-nilly away, but yet he's doing other things to attack. Well, if we've got so damn much money and we can just do that, I don't think we should have to pay taxes. As a matter of fact, I don't even think you need to pay your car payments or your house payments.
I heard
what?
I heard that the interest rates on homes are going to go up to 12%. 12% interest rates, mind you. He says Bidenomics is working.
Janet Yellen went to Beijing to promote Bidenomics and suggest they do Bidenomics. You know what happened with that meeting?
They probably laughed her out of the country.
They laughed at her and Bidenomics. What we are doing, I think it's deliberate.
Of course it is.
I think it's deliberate when you look at the Ukraine and the war and the money that's going over there. And what was that young curly-haired kid that was taking digital currency?
Oh, Sam Bankman-Fried.
Freed, yeah. Well, then and the money was coming back to the DNC, and these guys are putting it into their pockets. Or maybe what we're doing is purposely crashing the economic system that we have now, the paper money, so that, and we're investing all that money over there. And Zelensky can keep a little bit and his cronies can keep a little bit and have some fun, buy some yachts. And then it comes back to, the Democrat cronies, and they take that money now that it's been laundered through that way. And they go out and they invest in digital currency because they're going to crash the currency that we have now and force us all digital where they have control of every asset in the world, and they'll already be rich in digital assets.
We had another exercise, in my opinion, and frustration yesterday up at the Capitol. They're very good at talking in Washington, but they're not very good at the doing stuff. All right,
old talk,
walk. They did a lot of talking yesterday. The FBI is concerned about the possibility of an organized attack in the United States similar to the one that killed scores of people in Russia at that concert hall last month. This according to the director of the FBI, Christopher Wray. Chris Wray, he was on the Capitol yesterday. Before I get into what he was talking about, a little pet peeve, okay, about these clowns in Washington. There's something called Code Pink. You may have seen these people. They demonstrate at all these different hearings and functions, and they go into the hearing in their outfits. They look like they're the clowns. They come in their pink outfits, and they sit amongst the regular audience, and then at a certain point in the course of the hearing, they will break out into some kind of a demonstration, and then they'll be escorted out of the chambers by Capitol Police. Now, first of all, it's not like the Capitol Police don't know they're there, because they walk in looking like Rudy Kazooty in their pink outfits. You know that they aren't just normal. They're part of the Code Pink movement. They come in with, they had their hands painted in blood. They had Gaza written in indelible ink on their forearm. So when they raised their arm in a defiant fist, you could see on their forearm the word Gaza. You knew that they were there. And they do it because the cameras are there, right? They knew that if they get in the audience right behind Christopher Wray, they'll be on television. They do it as a TV moment. And I'm watching, and I said to my wife, you see those people in the background there? Those are Code Pink, and they're going to start a demonstration sometime in the course of this hearing. And I kept looking at the people in the background. You couldn't help but see them. And they're looking over at each other, waiting for the cue. And then, like clockwork, they jump up, they walk into the aisle, and they start chanting. And of course, the Capitol Police, the dunder duds that they are, walk over. Oh, you gotta leave the hearing, you know. And I'm thinking, I'm thinking, well, wait a second. Why don't you just say, if you're dressed looking like a clown, you can't come into the hearing, okay? If you're coming in to cause trouble, well, you just can't come in. But they don't do it. They just let him in.
It's in optics, yeah. It's staged optics. January 6th, staged. And you know it now, but they still hide it.
Oh.
You know, we don't have journalists anymore. We have propagandists.
Yeah, we have people who just, they just repeat the story, you know?
Before it slips my mind, I don't have it written down, but, you know, a lot of things transpired yesterday. And, you know, let's just say Joe doesn't get elected. Does the swamp still remain in Washington?
Absolutely.
So they're federal employees is what you're telling me,
right?
Oh,
absolutely.
Well, there was a new rule yesterday. Federal employees can't be fired. Whoop, there it is, deep state.
Federal employees can't be fired. That'll be a rule that will be repealed by the next president, I do believe. I think
you better hope, but you know, they know he's coming.
Oh, this is what they're trying to put him in jail for. It's not just Joe that wants him in jail. It's every one of these bureaucrats in Washington who have been there forever.
And how thin is the Stormy Daniels thing? Okay, she, you know, everyone goes, 2018, she won. No, actually, she didn't. She hasn't won a damn thing. She's been up to bat four times, I believe, and lost every time. As a matter of fact, she was ordered to pay Trump.
Yes.
You know, his legal fees and money. He paid $120,000. He paid $120,000 in hush money, you know. And why does she have to pay him $300,000? And why are we taking something that's past the statute of limitations and is probably doing nothing but destroying his family life? Alienation of affection caused by you, that's a criminal offense, Joe. But you're doing all of this with Stormy Daniels, who probably couldn't write the book. As a matter of fact, when she's out publicly speaking, I have that in my book. Okay, tell us about it. Oh, well, hang on, let me find it. There it is right there. Let me hold the book up, because you didn't write the damn thing.
Well, but Stormy Daniels, we told you about it yesterday. She had written a statement back in 2018, which said, look at, on several occasions, 2006, 2008, 2011, 2000, I have denied over and over again that there was ever a relationship between myself and Donald Trump. There was never a relationship, period. Mm-hmm. I'm not being coerced into doing this. I wasn't paid off to say this. I'm telling you that it never happened. She said this. She said this in writing.
You look at whatever it is the women getting together.
The View.
They're talking about, you know, Trump. Well, you know, I forget what her name was, the stupid redhead that's going, well, if Trump could read.
Oh, Joy Behar?
That's her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going, well, if Trump could read. You know, Melania doesn't love him because she knows that he cheated.
Oh,
you know, you can see it in the look in her eyes. And I'm going like,
well, you know,
really?
She said yesterday, I'm gonna keep doing this until he's gone forever from the landscape. You know, she doesn't want him to exist anymore. Never mind
being
present.
Well, and that's the entire party. They, look, you can hate somebody. That's your privilege.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a point to where you go beyond hate. When you sit there and you're proactively trying to hate somebody dead and you don't care how they get dead, you're out there propagating that, then you are basically...
I have never seen... Bill, I'm sorry. Please finish your thought. But,
well, no. I'm just saying you're an accomplice in the crime. You know, if he ends up dead, his blood will be on your hands, Ms. Behar. Yeah. Just so you know.
I've never seen a dumber TV show in my life than The View. You know, they all think they're so damn smart, and you know they have an audience of clapping seals. They bring, you know, if there are 200 people in the world who think that these people are intelligent, they find them and put them in that audience so that when they say something profound, which is profoundly stupid in reality, they go, bravo. And of course, ABC, they run it. And I don't think The View has the audience that it used to have, the ratings that it used to have, because when Barbara Walters put it together, it was a fairly interesting, nonpartisan kind of a talk show. Now, I mean, forget it. Even the conservative, in quotes, on the panel is a leftist. And they're all on the same page. Whoopi Goldberg, I mean, forget it.
She ought to go back and live up to her name because, she, you know.
Well, her name is Karen Johnson, by the way. Her real name is Karen Johnson.
Well, she acts like a Karen.
Yeah, well, I think it's funny that her first name is Karen. By the way, and she picked Whoopi Goldberg because she figured that she could be able to make more inroads in Hollywood if she had a Jewish last name.
Well, Goldberg, yeah. Whoopi, because she had a problem. She has a preclusion to pass gas a lot.
Well, there you go.
And that's actually true. And so, you know, she's nothing more than...
A gas bag.
she's a gas bag. She's the Whoopi cushion of the left.
Yeah.
You know?
Getting back to...
Here's Whoopi. Thank you, Whoopi. Glad to hear from you.
Getting back to Christopher Wray for a second. He came out yesterday in the hearing room and said, we're going to get nailed. We're about to get nailed. By the way, he talks about in all of his experience in law enforcement, he's never seen a more volatile time. You know, his law enforcement experience goes all the way back to when he was appointed FBI director. Before that, he was simply a lawyer. He wasn't a guy who came up through the ranks of the FBI. He was appointed FBI director from the outside, and it was a mistake. The guy, he looks... If you were in Hollywood and you wanted to pick a handsome director of the FBI, somebody who had all of the dashing, the appearance you want for that position, Christopher Wray would look like that part. I mean, he's central casting, but he's not a guy with a lot of experience. But that being said, he has come out and said we're ready and we're primed to be nailed in a terroristic attack in our country, and there's not much we can do about it, is what he was saying. It's like, what can you do? Not much, you know? It's like, holy smokes. You let all these people in, and we're about to get nailed.
Oh, when you look at everything that's going on, and it's all staged, and it's staged for a reason. I'll go back and finish one thought, because I said I was going to explain why the Stormy Daniels thing, the case, exists. It's not because he did anything illegal. And that's why it's a Class E misdemeanor, but they had to bring it up 34 times to give it some substance. But it's based on the $120,000 of hush money, which is legal to do. Mm-hmm. They don't even argue that it's legal to do. What they're saying is, now listen carefully, they're saying that money was paid, and not by Trump directly. I think it was, what's his name, Michael Cohen that paid it out? Is that the guy?
I'm not sure.
They paid it out. So whether they did it because they thought this could be a problem or not, you know, he paid it, you know, and she's already admitted that never really happened, and I got money, so I mean she extorted money. But that $120,000, they're going, oh, well, and Trump paid him back. Said, well, you spent the money, here it is. But they're redoing that, but they're going, well, that could be, see, if it was $1,000 or $2,000.
Wait a second.
No big deal, but it's $120,000. They're going, well, that was secret money.
Wait, if Michael Cohen, who at the time was a corrupt lawyer and he wanted to be closer and closer to Trump at the time, he ended up, I believe, going to jail. And now he's a big anti-Trumper. You know, he hates Trump mm-hmm. now. But at the time, he took it upon himself to pay off that $120,000. And then Trump paid Cohen back. How can Trump be responsible for the debt that Cohen came out with, paid off?
They're saying that money, they're trying to, it's thin.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that money amounts to secret campaign funds. See, and they're trying to get him on the campaign fraud of the money because it wasn't reported, because they want to call it campaign funds. And because even though Trump said, well, here's your money, you know, blah, blah, blah.
You know what's amazing? This guy's got, Trump is a billionaire. You know, and for them to try to say that he was using campaign funds to pay off Cohen is ridiculous. I mean,
that's chump
change for Trump.
They're trying to make it count as, so they even admit, well, kind of, sort of, maybe could be considered, but, you know, it's thin, we know it, but we have 34 counts of it, and here are his canceled checks to Cohen. Okay? But the fact is, she just negated that. Cohen hung his ass out there on his own, as far as I see.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Stormy Daniels and all of this. I don't even know if she's registered to vote. I don't even know if she knows how to vote. You know, but
hey, by the way,
she is.
When they, this is my opinion. If I were a lawyer for Trump, and they're trying to make Stormy Daniels out to be the victim here, one of the first things I would do is I would close the courtroom, meaning I would just no audience, and I would get a compilation of scenes from the Stormy Daniels movies and say, I want you to see videotape of our victim. I want you to see how much of a victim Stormy Daniels is, how much of it was forced on her, okay? This is just, before we go into what has happened in this courtroom, I want you to see the quality of the person that is charging my client. I want you to see where she comes from. And then I would play the compilation to the jury, much to their chagrin, but you know, that's what juries are paid to do. They're paid to see the good and the bad. And I would say, here's Stormy Daniels, and judge this woman based upon her acts, not about what lawyers tell you.
Well, I would take a gamble if I were a lawyer, because a lot of it's based on that book that, oh, she worked so hard on to write. During the time that all this was going on, everything she was worried about, I would say, I have the book, Ms. Daniels. I'm going to turn to page 88. Tell me what's in there. I'll read the first sentence. You tell me everything else for the next three pages. Mm-hmm. And if she couldn't do it, she didn't write it, because she should know exactly what she wrote. But I guarantee that she does. Well, you know, she is an actress, and actors can memorize lines. Wait a minute. No. She's a sight actor. She doesn't have any verbal lines, so.
She actually,
she wouldn't know.
If you call a porn star an actress, it's an insult. It's an insult, because, you know, when you're a good actor or an actress, it's a skill. It's really something you work at being, and it takes a lot of work.
To say skill in what she does, yeah, that's a whole different thing.
To be a porn actress, you have to be able to take off your clothes and perform sex acts, which, I mean, a lot of animals can do that at the drop of a hat. But anyway, the point is, enough of this nonsense. Let's show the court what this woman is really all about before we start talking about a president who for 4 years represented our country on the world stage, whether you like him or not.
Someone will fact check me on this, and that's fine. Go right ahead. But she's made three statements. In writing, she said it never happened. Then in her book, she's publicly said, well, you know, when she finally said, yeah, I felt threatened when I did that. Right? Sure you did.
Of course.
But, you know, it only happened once, and it was terrible. But then, you know, on a talk show, and I guess referring to her book, oh, it happened on many occasions. Wait a minute. You know, no time, one time, several times.
Well,
what is it, Miss Stormy?
Let's talk about the porn business for a second, the business that she embraced and was participated in for years upon years, okay? The porn business is not, when you see these people having relations on camera, These aren't lovers who have had long-term relations. Before the camera started to roll, they may have just introduced themselves to each other. Hi, I'm Stormy. Hi, I'm Bob. Oh, how'd you get your part? Oh, my agent sent me over here. Okay. Did you take a shower? Yeah, okay. All right, ready? Cameras are rolling. Stormy, you're going to be taking off your clothes, and you're going to be having intimate relations with Bob, okay, and we'll be on you for most of the shot. Make it look real. That's what it's all about, folks. What it's all about is these people at the drop of the hat will perform the most heinous things. By the way, if she will demean herself at the drop of a hat for money, do you think she wouldn't do the same thing against Trump? I mean, we've already proven that she will do it to herself for money. Wouldn't she do the same thing to demean Trump? I mean, this is a lady without any standards at all.
Not to put the guys down, but, you know, guys, you know, if they're in the porn business, they're maybe good once or twice for a day, and that's it. Women, you know, and it's been proven, they sit there, they come in, they might get $5,000 to $10,000 to do a...
Well, Bill, they have stand-ins. In the porn business, if the guy gets tired and no longer can perform, they have stunt doubles, literally, guys who they're in for the close-up, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, it's not his face they're looking for, so yeah.
That's exactly right.
But, you know, what I'm saying, my point is she can go and do 5 to 10 roles in a day, so to speak, if you want to call them a role, and she gets $5,000 a clip. So let's just say it's 5 a day, and she works 7 days a week. We'll give her 6 days a week. That's 300 fellas a week. And she, how many years has she done this for?
Oh, God, she's done it for many years, at least 10, 12 years, at least.
Okay, so, all right, I mean, you know, I'm not going to do the math for you, but we're talking a big, large number where she couldn't even recant each time, but she sure remembers Trump.
And so but they're going to turn around. Her lawyers, by the way, will turn around in this courtroom.
She's a victim.
Exactly. Look at this poor woman.
Well,
and look at this.
Now and has a child.
Look at this. This rich billionaire who was attacking her physically and emotionally. Come on, folks! Enough of this crap. You know, it's like O.J. Simpson, who just passed away. Right? We stood around. A whole country stood around watching this damn trial. I remember it. I remember it like it was yesterday because we were fixated on this stupid. This stupid case for month after month. The guy was a creep, okay? He was a great football player. He was a fairly decent actor, a celebrity, but he was a lousy, lousy person who treated this woman with disdain, with a viciousness that animals treat. Animals don't treat their mates like he treated her. He punched her in the... I'll never forget, there was a picture of her where he punched her in the face... Nicole, and she had a black eye. This was several months before he took a knife and literally just about decapitated her, the mother of his children. This guy, and then he got away with it, and you see him hugging Johnny Cochran. Oh, God, I thank you so much. And people say the black community applauded, and the white community couldn't believe it. It's because in that period of time that they made that court case, you know, a celebrity event, an entertainment thing, they divided us. They divided us. They had the Johnny Cochran black lead attorney. They had all of these things. They started to make it a racial thing from the get-go, and they divided the country. Even the blacks who liked him winning knew he was guilty, but, you know? I mean, think about that for a second.
You know, and that was my point, you know, my black friend who sat there and said, they know, they've been Democrats all their life, you know, and they know who their enslavers are. So the only thing that I can get out of that is they know who their enslavers are. But right now, while it was beneficial for them just to sit there and play that role, that's fine. But the gig is up, and they're moving on now. And the Democrats don't know how to do it. They're grasping. Now, I'm not going to say that, you know, that they're doing a good job doing what they do, and it's terrible and it's awful. They accuse Trump of being a Nazi, a dictator, and, you know, the so-called Christians, you know, if you're a Christian, you would, how dare you question my faith? You don't have the right to question my faith, what I believe, mm-hmm. how I think, who I worship. You don't have it. Just like I don't have the right to tell you, you know, what to or not believe in. But I will call you out on that. And they're doing that. They are trying to demonize us, demoralize us, and they're trying to divide us out. They're carving us out of the cake of life.
What amazes me is, you know, we have improved, light years improved DNA testing since 1994, 95. And I'm surprised that they didn't go back and just take the evidence and rerun it to see how much DNA evidence was on the knife, how much of his
DNA, they can still do that.
How much of his DNA was on Nicole, on her skin, on her throat, you know?
They can still do that.
Yeah, but the thing is, they just let it kind of go, like, oh, leave it alone, it's done, you know. And again, the first thing I thought of yesterday when I heard that he died, Bill, was, well, this is he's now in front of the ultimate decision maker, the ultimate judge, and there'll be no Johnny Cochran beating around the bush with God. And I hope to God, I do believe, I'm one of these guys that believes that even the most evil of us, should they find God and repent, that God in all of his greatness, and he's a lot greater than I am, he has the ability to forgive even the worst of us. So I'm hoping that he sincerely repented. That being said, if you listen to him laughing at the crowd of people who were looking at him in his SUV in February, hospice, me in a hospice? come on. Everything with him was a joke. He got away with, remember what he said? I'm going to spend the rest of my life looking for the real killer. He said that to the world. He said, don't worry, I'm going to spend the rest of my life. He spent nothing. He spent his time on the golf courses.
Oh, he looked every day in the mirror.
He did. He checked every golf course in the Southwest to see whether he could find his killer. Let's see, a couple of other things. This is interesting. I wanted to mention this. We always talk about drones and things like that. Do you realize that we now have something? It is called, I believe, the Manta Ray Project.
It's an underwater drone, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks if you look at it from the surface, it looks like a manta ray. You've seen it. It's that big fish that looks like a big airplane, actually. The Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, otherwise known as DARPA, has raised eyebrows in the last several years for projects such as its Advanced Plant Technologies and Resource Program, which aims at turning trash into food. Think about that for a second. If you've never heard of DARPA, it's a research agency in the United States Department of Defense that creates innovative and cutting-edge technology for the U.S. military. One of DARPA's latest projects is the Manta Ray Project. According to DARPA's website, the Manta Ray Project seeks to demonstrate innovative technologies allowing payload-capable autonomous unmanned underwater vehicles to operate on long-duration, long-range missions in ocean environments without the need for on-site human logistics. It actually, from what I understand, it actually recharges itself with the sunlight too. So this vehicle has the capability of going underwater. Let's say it goes underwater with a nuclear device, and you can't find it, but it's programmed to be there, lurking in the shadows. And then all of a sudden, we start having a problem with one of our enemies, and our enemies have a history of being able to track our subs. Well, good luck finding the Manta Ray. The Manta Ray, because it'll be down there. It's hard to find, and yet it has the capability of blowing one of your cities off the face of the earth. We've created so many sophisticated devices like this, and yet we can't get electric cars to run on a long duration without being charged. You know, Why can't we have our electric vehicles run for a long time? Why don't we have cars, for example, where you don't have to wait for 2 hours for your car to charge? You just pull into a service station and swap the batteries out. Takes 5 minutes and off you go. You know, I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm sure that there's someone out there that has some kind of engine that runs off the gravitational rotation of the Earth. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, no, I think you're probably right. I don't know what, I think truly we're being forced to go after electric cars because the product that the batteries are made out of comes from China, and we're paying China back. And this is what Biden does.
What are we paying them back for?
Joe would tell you. You know, Joe has the answer on that. I mean, Joe, in my opinion, is a Chinese operative. We have a Chinese operative in Washington in the White House. Think about that for a second. Anyway.
Well, there's so many things. I could go back to my tax argument there, too, you know. And
you got anything you want to add, Bill, before we wrap this little program
up? It'd take another hour to add it.
Well, I think we can call this one a day. And, of course, we have a weekend update program coming tomorrow. Things to watch out for today, look for the Middle East. The Middle East is a hotbed, not just in Gaza, but now, you know, we were wondering why Israel was pulling a lot of its troops out of the Gaza area and sending them back to Tel Aviv and that area. I think it's because they're expecting to expand the war. I think the Middle East could be an explosion. And, you know, they've said many, many times that World War III is going to start in the Middle East, and here we are. On the edge.
Where's Armageddon going to be?
You know, Bill, you'd like to think it's never going to happen, but boy, we keep stumbling like blind men towards an inevitable World War III. It's sad.
Yeah.
It really is. I pray to God that we have cooler heads and that people don't do something as crazy as stumble into war. But if you remember what Elon Musk said. Listen, he said this.
Any diplomacy whatsoever.
I think we are sleepwalking our way into World War III. Sleepwalking our way into World War III, with one foolish decision after another, as you outlined, David. And really, people should be deeply self-reflective. If their predictions have not come true, they should consider whether perhaps their other predictions might not come true either. I mean, what is the track record here? It's not good.
We're sleepwalking our way into World War III.
Mm.
And he's the kind of guy, he's a futurist. He's a guy who has spent his whole life imagining what the world can be and what it can look like in the future. And for him to envision us in World War III, it's frightening. It really is. Okay, buddy, I think we've just about done it. Anything you want to add before we pull the plug on this?
No, I just don't want to trip over the plug.
Okay, well, it could happen. If you were Joe, it would be a certainty.
Of course.
Anyway, you can get our contact information by going to our website, www.itsanotherday.com or www.jimandbill.com. And all of our stuff, phone numbers and email addresses, our past shows, all 600 of them, can be accessed right there on our website. And without any further ado, I'll leave the ending up to you.
Well, if tomorrow never comes, there's probably one thing you should know. We love you, baby, but it's time for us to go. So hasta la vista, we're out of here.
This is CRN America.